I think that just as we're living in a nuclear age, we have grown so tremendously in scientific knowledge, it doesn't seem too much to say that men can begin to awaken to the fact that they haven't grown enough spiritually and haven't recognized their spiritual capacities.
Once something like eating is death, then you've struck at the very heart of life. The enemy of the older radical theories may have been the ruling class, but today the stakes of whether we will reform ourselves into a new kind of human being, a new kind of society, whether we will find selves worth being, the stakes of it are simply life itself.
It has been a day. You know, it's one of those days, or maybe a couple of days, when kind of all hell breaks loose, but nevertheless, I'm still here. Everything's basically all right. And I really want to get this video out there. If you appreciate the fact that I'm still thinking about getting this video out there by Sunday, think about helping support what I do and some of my friends do. By joining Patreon, our Patreon for the Morin Academy. I'll put the link in the notes below, and it scrolls across your screen at the intro. Your support keeps us going. And the fact that I'm actually sharing Mounier with you comes from having first read Mounier's book, The Personalist Manifesto, in our Communio reading group, which meets once a month. We're on month two. We're going to finish up the Personalist Manifesto this month. And I thought it was thought-provoking enough. I wanted to do some public videos about it. But for the most part, the Communio reading group deals with political theology and surrounding literature. And it's just one of the many things the Morin Academy does. So consider that. Consider being a patron. And today I want to get into this issue of what is a person versus what is an individual to Mounier, and how does he distinguish the two? And then we will also get into how Mounier deals particularly with women and the potential female person. So he actually has a section called Woman as Person, without the question mark, in chapter 9. And so we'll start to deal with that. I think I might actually do a whole individual video about that next time, just about how he deals with women and the family. But I can get started on that this time around. So first of all, on this issue of what is a person versus what is an individual, and how do we distinguish between the two? We know that Mounier is advocating for personhood and that he's critical of individuality. I think in general, he's critical of, I should say, of the individual, the idea of the individual, and that his critique is in some way similar to other critiques of liberal individualism. So here's some of the things that he says about the two. He says, individuality is dispersion and the person is integration. So there's something about our concept of the individual which feels to him to be fragmented, whereas the person is the experience of integration, of wholeness. And he's going to actually, he does explain what that means, because it's awfully abstract at first. And when I read this at first, I thought, what is he talking about? We all have interior experiences, right? And he characterizes that. He says we have these interior experiences. And actually, when we think about it, we have kind of like multiple personalities, all of us, because we're projecting particular aspects of ourselves to the outside world, depending on what we want them to see and how and who we're interacting with. But we don't usually like sum all of that up. And our individualism is expressed in how we act outwardly towards others or what people see. And it may be really creative or it may be really dull, and it varies from person to person and place to place and time to time, because we are kind of chameleon-like creatures. But that's all part of individuality. Our individuality expresses itself externally, right, in these different faces. But actually, Mounier says the person is this experience of who we are interiorly, right, inside. It is what is maybe the source of the projections of these various aspects that we project into the outer world. But it's more than that. In fact, it's so much more than that, that we ourselves in our intellectual dimension can't really grasp fully at any given point who we even are as persons. So one suspects that there is a sort of metaphysical or spiritual dimension, right? And he does mention the human spirit quite a bit in this book. Okay, and then he says the person is the integration of all of his acts. So the person is the integration of all of these things that we do. Definitely, the person is the integration of all the different faces that we put out there into the outside world. But more, it's not only all of those, but it's all the inner feelings and thoughts that we have, even if they're divergent, even if they clash. It's all of our experiences and more. And one thing that I got out of this section was the idea that for us to be true persons, he thinks we have to own all of our acts, all the faces that we put out there, even the ones that are fake. We also have to own all of the things we do and have done, even if those things are not admirable. They are a part of what we are and who we are. And personhood has something to do with being able to acknowledge that, acknowledge them and take them back into ourselves, and maybe like through that process, change them into something better so that they're not mere masks or, you know, bad actions. Okay. So he reasons that our various aspects of our personality and our lives are maintained but perfected by integration. They're maintained by us, but they can be perfected by integration, by this acceptance, by working on them. In other words, by becoming contemplative and aware of them. Then he goes on to say the goal of the person is the uninterrupted pursuit of his vocation. So here he's taking this turn towards, if a person has achieved personhood and is not simply living as an individual in this fragmented existence, but has become more of an integrated whole, then somehow they're going to have the space to be able to contemplate what is their vocation. That is, not what they must do or what's popular to do, right? But rather, what is their goal based upon what they themselves think is right? Okay, so we're not talking about here about the things that we do for mere survival or to get ahead economically or socially, but rather at our core, you know, who are we? What do we care about? That is our vocation. And he says then the person's vocation is his destiny. Now, he must not mean by that that everybody achieves this goal or this thing that they truly love and value, okay? But it is kind of like saying perhaps it is our telos, like this is what our vocation is what we were made for. And one of the things we know that Mounier does not like is the fact that bourgeois liberalism and capitalism will kind of like make it hard for personhood to develop and difficult for people to be able to acquire a vocation to like, maybe I should say, acknowledge their vocation and begin to pursue it rather than dealing with all of these external demands. Okay. So if those things were moved out of the way somehow, although he doesn't exactly say how, because he's made it clear that he doesn't like the Marxist solution and he doesn't like the fascist solution. But if they could be cleared out of the way somehow, then a person could start aiming at that end, that fulfillment of his nature, right? Okay. He also says the person is beyond our objectification of it, which is always partial, right? We can, that's where he's basically saying we can never fully grasp it with just our intellect. But he says education should facilitate the exploration and finding of our personhood, okay, to the extent that we can. And this is what education should be about, not just preparing us for our livelihood, our job, not just for making us better adapted to other human beings so we can do business with them, but literally discovering who we are, which is what liberal education, so-called liberal education, ideally is about. But in the United States, we never really have done that very much. And to the extent that we used to, we don't now. We've really, really forgotten that aspect of education at the university level and below. And that is a shame, because I agree with him that education can really facilitate finding out who you are. And I hope that the Morin Academy and what we're doing here publicly, as well as on Patreon, will help people do just that. That is one of our goals. You don't need to have a degree. You don't need to spend a lot of money to be able to do this, but it does help to do it with other people, which is something that Mounier does ask for in a good education. There's a certain communal aspect to it. He uses terms like this about personhood: authenticity, fullness, intimate, interior, vibrant. Okay. And actually, this is where, you know, I get a little bit of a little queasy feeling when dealing with Mounier, because, you know, Charles Taylor, of course, is the author of The Age of Authenticity, right? And uses the term quite a bit, and the term fullness, you know, reminds me of Taylor too. Feeling of fullness. But this notion that the person is authentic, that the goal is authenticity, is a pretty modern notion, right? That still, in my view, smacks a bit of individualism. And I just can't seem to shake that queasy feeling that as much as he wants to separate the concept from individualism, it still might verge into that, and maybe even in practice verge into a kind of narcissism. I'm not saying that Mounier would ever like think that, right? Or certainly not want it. The opposite is what he wants. However, I don't know if he fully escapes what it is that he dislikes. And this is one of those aspects that gives me the qualms. Okay. So I'll put that on the shelf for a second, but I'll come back to that. He says the person can brook no material or collective gauge of himself, because that is always an impersonal measure. There exists between persons a kind of spiritual equality, which forbids all ever to use any one of them as a mere tool, or to classify men according to heredity, worth, or condition. In this sense, therefore, personalism is essentially anti-aristocratic. So there you see him pushing back against capitalism, especially in its sort of collectivized factory way of organizing people. It's a form of collectivism. We organize people into mass production settings in factories, offices, bureaucracies, where they only work on a small piece of a very, very large process. And that's what he means by this impersonal nature, right? That, you know, the collective gauge of a person is how well he does his small part in the office or on the factory floor. So this is antithetical to personhood. And there's a spiritual equality to persons, right, that resists this collectivization and resists any sort of ranking of human beings too, which is why he also doesn't like aristocracy, because there you have the commoners, the masses, you've got then the, you know, the various layers of, you know, upper class nobles and so on. All right. I think you get the point there. Or he turns towards liberalism explicitly at a certain point when he talks about the type of freedom that the liberal believes in. He says does not consist in giving oneself an objective or even in choosing an objective, but simply in being on the verge of choosing, always disengaged, always in suspension, and never determined. This reminds me of a book that the Communio Reading Group started with, David Schindler's Heart of the World, Center of the Church. It also reminds me of his son D.C. Schindler's book, The Politics of the Real. But David Schindler has this notion that, you know, liberal freedom is this sort of state of suspension, kind of. That the freedom is the potential to choose, or Mounier puts it here, being on the verge of choosing, always really disengaged, right? Not having made a choice, not having made a commitment. This is liberal freedom, and it's negative in that sense. I am not being stopped, but I reserve the right to change my mind innumerable times and to not make a commitment. This is something that the Moran Academy seems to hop on quite a bit, this tendency of people not to be able to make a commitment about anything, large or small, because of the pursuit of this sort of like feeling of potential freedom, right? But pure potential is negative. There's nothing there, right? And so it can never yield Mounier's personhood, because there's no values, there's no like, there's no truth there yet. There's nothing that has been embraced and committed to. So Mounier calls this being on the verge of choosing a caricature of liberty. It's not real liberty, because real liberty, and from this point of view, is the ability to make a choice and a commitment to begin to live out what you actually think and have embraced as true. So he says, the liberty of the person is man's liberty to discover his vocation for himself and to adopt freely the means of realizing it. See? It is not a freedom of abstention, but a freedom of engagement in action. Ah. So this is why on Dust Bowl Diatribes, when we harp about, you know, it's one thing for people to say they believe in something. It's a whole different level to actually start doing it. Only in the doing of it and doggedly continuing to do it, in Mounier's view, are you actually a free person? Because now you're acting on your own decisions instead of just talking about them. Okay. And this brings us to this point. He says there are two ways of achieving, quote, personality or personhood. The hero and the saint. And it is precisely this character that first decides, you know, I believe this, I think this, and then says, I commit to it, and then starts doing it and does it consistently. And this is the nature of the hero or the saint. The hero is the person, he says, who achieves the highest point of personality, okay? Because they live out the principles that they have chosen and have embraced. They become the heroic figure. The saint lives in the depths of the authentic person. Okay. The saint sacrifices in many cases in order to live out truth as they see it, oftentimes in relation to others, in giving, in sacrifice. But you can see now, you know, what Mounier himself values here. And the vision is pretty demanding. Now this gets us to, I'm going to skip over a couple of chapters, but I'll probably go back to them later. But I'm going to skip over to the private life, which is chapter 9, and just deal a little bit with this, all right? Because here he's asking the question, so how does the private life factor into the development of this personhood? Does it, like, yield the heroic, the saintly, right? And under what conditions could it, right? Questions like that. So the private life, I believe Mounier is primarily thinking of the family life, you know, the non-public life, in other words. Even if you're a single person, you have this non-public life, right? Where you go home, you go to your apartment or whatever, and you can be yourself to yourself, at least potentially, if you want to. And the same thing with family. A good family is one in which you can approach outwardly being who you are inside at any given moment, and that this group of people will supposedly help you develop yourself. I know a lot of times it doesn't actually happen, but that's because of the kind of country that we're living in, the times at which we're living, and maybe it's just human nature. I don't know, but lots of times it doesn't happen, but it should happen because that's part of what family should be about. I like the way he puts it. He says, it is the meeting place of the interior life and the collective life of the person. It's that place where both the interior life and the life of, you know, in relation with other people comes together. Now, he criticizes the bourgeois private life as not the real deal. He basically says the bourgeois spent a lot of time, you know, trying to develop themselves. And I would call that, you know, the pursuit of hobbies and other pursuits like hobbies. You know, I'm going to tackle this. I'm going to do that. But all this busyness and like self-development of an external nature is not what he's getting at. This gets us into the zone again where I feel a little bit queasy, both because I don't think it's wrong to improve yourself in these ways. But also because I think that Mounier has an ideal of what the interior life should be like to be authentic and to be true personhood that perhaps is too much one way. And I'm going to try to explain this. So there's this section in chapter 9 that he titles Woman, Also a Person. And when I read it, I thought to myself, man, you know, this guy was writing in 1938. And I can tell you, like, a lot of his thoughts about women and how, you know, how they should be developed and what their potential is or could be are quite enlightened for that time, and actually reminded me of John Stuart Mill's ideas. Mill was a 19th century thinker, but who was even more ahead of his time on the question of women. But Mounier's ideas are very, you know, very enlightened in that regard. However, ultimately, underneath that, there is this clear judgment that he's making that most of the women of his time have not achieved personhood, and that there's aspects about the female experience that make it difficult for them to achieve personhood. And he calls women a sort of spiritual proletariat, meaning that they are kept down primarily by culture. He doesn't really say like very much that they're kept down directly by men. And honestly, he kind of writes quite a bit like they're keeping themselves down. And this is where I start to get really like, ugh. In other words, he spends quite a bit of time criticizing feminine traits of the time anyway, and probably still now in a lot of them, that he believes women have adopted in order to probably conform themselves to men, but also, you know, to be like socially acceptable and things like that, right? So, for instance, attention to beauty, attention to the comfort of others, to our surroundings. And so I would say that he maybe at least 50% blames women for making themselves a sort of spiritual proletariat by spending way too much time on these, what he would consider to be kind of superficial, trivial aspects. Okay. He says, woman remains outside the domain of history without awakening any astonishment. The implication being people should be astonished that 50% are largely outside of the history of the development of personhood, but they should be astonished at this. And he says that they are not rising to the personal life. All right. So this made me think quite hard, because I think a lot of what, you know, we talk about on Dust Bowl and just in the Moran Academy in general has to do with the value of seeing and working with other people, the value of mundane manual work, the work that we do to feed ourselves, to grow the things that we need in the case of the farm, to take care of the daily ins and outs of business, to commit to like helping each other out with these very needful things that can keep us healthy and happy. And these are all things that require work and thinking about other people and being sensitive to their needs. And indeed, oftentimes it involves like attention to beauty too, as we try to figure out what will be pleasing to other people who live around us, right? We have to be sensitive to what other people think in order to live and cooperate closely with others. So this all makes me think that a lot of what we do and value would be considered women's work or woman-like or not interior enough and too focused on externalities and too much about mundane things, not heroic and saint-like, or maybe saint-like, but I don't know. So this is where, you know, it sort of like gave me pause and made me stop a bit. And I asked myself, is Mounier right about this? Or is he giving too much weight to this authenticity and interior life and too little weight to the communal or collective life in which we have to actually commit, which I agree with him, like this is a good part of his writing. Think, commit, do, work, be consistent. Now, if he associates some of those traits more with women, what do we have? Right? Like, so maybe more integration needed to be done on Mounier's part. But I am hesitant to say that other regarding people who pay attention to beauty, even their own, let alone like the beauty of the world, people who care for others and what they think and how they feel, more than they have this deep interior life, which seems pretty philosophic in nature, I would hesitate to say that they are living lesser lives, but that does seem to be what Mounier is saying, is that woman could become a person And I think that maybe Mounier's ideal person is somebody like himself, a man, and then also a sort of like deep, broody, interior type of man. And I'm kind of like that. So I'm not saying that that's like a terrible thing to be, but I'm just saying maybe there's a little lopsidedness here. So this is what I want to explore more, see if I'm right. I don't know. I'm just getting this thought, and I'm like recklessly sharing it with you guys. Next time I'll try to explore this line of reasoning more and see if it holds up.